Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk. The man to my left is Paul Dottino, and the phone number for you is 201-939-4513. It's the week of the NFL draft. We're just over 72 hours away when the Browns will make the first pick in the draft. In fact, I'll be more specific. We're 80 hours away from when the Browns will be making their first selection in the 2018 NFL draft. We've done a lot of work to get here, folks. A lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of film watching, a lot of chatting, having some fun with you. So we got three more days or so to do it. We got shows all week this week from 12 to 1, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then, of course, we'll have our shows on Friday night, Friday afternoon, and then Saturday afternoon as well during those drafts. So make sure you tune in and check them out. Tony Pauline will be joining us at 12:05 from draftanalyst.com. Does a great job, so he'll be with us then. And then we'll have all your calls. Wanted to make sure we get a lot of your calls in this week since you've done so many guests over the last 3 weeks or so. I want to make sure we get your opinion.
Sure.
We're just a few days heading into the draft. And, of course, we have voluntary veterans minicamp as well, which is coming up on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday this week. So it'll be a big chock full of information week for Giants football, Paulie.
Yeah, good news for us. The weather is outstanding right now, and it's supposed to be that way tomorrow.
Yes.
For the first day of the voluntary veterans minicamp.
Wednesday gets dicey.
It does. It does, and they may have to move it into the field house. But on Friday when I was here, they started lining the fields outside because they were prepping to make sure that they had everything in order so these players could get out there and actually do some things on the field. Now, it's only walkthrough stuff. Let's make that clear. In phase two of the offseason team activities, as far as I know, it's only walkthrough stuff. Coaches can be out there.
My understanding is that the minicamp operated under phase three rules.
I will check on that.
I thought it did. I will double check that.
See, this is the optional based on the fact that Shurmur was hired as a new head coach.
Only teams that have new coaches get this additional minicamp.
Right.
That's
correct. There's a mandatory later on in the month. Actually, later on next month.
Yeah, middle of June. Middle of June is the mandatory minicamp.
The first minicamp is an optional minicamp. I thought that was only walkthrough.
I will double check that.
I could be wrong.
I thought it was.
You know what?
I thought it operated under OTA rules, but I would not go to the Supreme Court and argue that case.
Then let's not discuss that any further other than to say the players will be on the field. That's
yes,
the good news.
Correct. And we'll get to see some of the guys that we haven't seen, some of the future signings the Giants made after the offseason. We'll see the new punters, the new kickers.
Yeah.
We'll see everybody that you can imagine out there on the field. And, of course, everyone wants to see Davis Webb. We'll keep an eye on him over those 3 days as well. If it's just walkthrough, it's really not that exciting. So we'll have to see what they end up doing. We'll check on that for you as the show goes along. And then after you say goodbye to Tony Pauline and we take your calls, I have a draft option for Paul that I don't think he can refuse. And I will try to sell Paul on this before he has his final show before the draft tomorrow, and he'll give his final picks or whatever he wants to do on his final show. I'm going to try to convince you of something one more time. I'm going to give it my all, okay?
Okay.
But let's get to our guest first. He's Tony Pauline from DraftAnalyst.com. Tony's a friend of the program. We talked to him at the Combine. Now we talked to him again. We know he's really tuned in to all the NFL decision makers and what's going on with the NFL draft. Tony, you got Paul, you got John in East Rutherford, New Jersey. How are you today?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, Tony, anytime. We love you. Great to have you. Let's talk about this first. Usually around this time, and it usually starts maybe last week, you hear about some guys that are scaring NFL front offices because of some of the medical rechecks and some medical issues. Every year you have some guys that will drop down on people's boards because of issues like that that are off the field. Who are you hearing right now could be in that category that might go a lot lower than people think because of some off-the-field concerns, whether medical or maybe even something else?
I mean, I haven't heard any of the top guys. All the top guys we know about, you know, the issue with Leighton Van Der Esch, I've heard some teams think it's not an issue at all. It's a non-issue. We've talked about Josh Rosen ad nauseum. I don't think I think if he falls, it's not going to be that far. I mean, there were some notes on some, you know, mid to late round guys. Tim Settle of Virginia Tech, who was a big interior defensive tackle, a redshirt sophomore, really a very talented player. There were some concerns about his conditioning, about his off the field dedication to the sport. And then there's Antonio Callaway, who, the receiver from Florida, the underclassman who didn't play last year, who, I mean, if he's hitting on all cylinders, the guy's a top 45 pick, but he's an absolute train wreck off the field, and he's probably going to go undrafted. So I really haven't heard anything bad about any of these top guys. who are going to take a major tumble because of injuries or off-the-field issues. Of course, we didn't mention Arden Key, but that's another story altogether.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, let me ask you this, Tony. We had you on during the combine. You told us what it looked like in terms of the top guys on the board at that point. We talked about surprises. We talked about, you know, who might rise and fall during the combine. Let me rephrase the question now that we are here on top of the draft. Since the combine, since you left Indianapolis, put the medical stuff aside, who are the one or two players who have risen the most on your board, and who are the one or two players who have fallen the most on your board?
Good question. I think the two players, we're going to go with the linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith. I mean, both of those guys have skyrocketed up boards. You look at the film, they're tremendous players on the film. They had both had good workouts. They did well at their pro day, whether they did additional drills at pro day, whether they did just the position drills. I mean, these are guys who were talking about maybe the 10 to 15 range. They mm-hmm. both look like they're going to be top 10 selections. So I think those guys are the two who have skyrocketed the quickest. I think James Rosen has fallen. I had projected him as a top four selection. He may fall out of the top 10 for a variety of reasons. I also think that De'Ron Payne of Alabama has fallen for all the wrong reasons. He's a great player. I think he's tremendous upside. I think he's going to be one of the better defenders to come from this draft in 2 or 3 years. But teams see him as a two-down player, not much of a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. So De'Ron Payne, who I still think is worthy of being a top 15 pick, is probably going to fall to the bottom half of round one.
I want to follow up on one thing there, Tony, on Rosen. You said you think he's going to drop, and earlier you said you don't think there's that many concerns in terms of the medical. So is it the personality stuff with Rosen that you think is maybe dropping him down on people's boards, or do you just not see a real good fit for him in his play style in that top 10?
I think the personality has rubbed people the wrong way, and while I don't think the medicals are an issue, it's a situation where you better make sure you have a real good left tackle, because this guy cannot sit in the pocket and get pummeled. And there are a lot of teams at the top who may want to consider, you know, like Buffalo traded away their left tackle. You bring Josh Rosen in there, it could be a recipe for a disaster.
You know, Tony, it's funny. I want to follow up on that real quick, because I've heard a few different people talk about Josh Rosen and his fragility. They talk about his frame. But the one thing that I think they mention, and I've heard more than one person I respect a lot that do what you do say this, unlike Eli Manning, who has that innate ability to kind of get out of the way of the pass rusher at the last second mm-hmm. and avoid the big hit. He's kind of like Gumby. He just knows how to twist his body and not take the full brunt of these hits. I've heard a lot of people say they're afraid that Josh Rosen doesn't do a good enough job of protecting himself in the pocket, and he takes a lot of big hits. And that's one of the reasons the medicals might be a problem for him. Is that the type of thing you're hearing from NFL teams?
Yeah, that's one. He's not a fragile guy. He's
right.
had major issue. I mean, he had a major shoulder issue, and he's got concussions. So it's not like it's nicks and bruises. It's some major issues. And what you're saying is true. That usually comes in time. You know, a guy learns how to do that, how to protect himself. Running backs learn how to protect themselves carrying the ball. The quarterbacks can feel that backside pressure, learn to step up or basically twist their shoulders so they don't take the brunt of the hit. The only issue is you better make sure you get a left tackle in there quickly so he can develop that sort of sense rather than getting pummeled in the pocket for a guy that's had concussions and a major shoulder issue. So, yes, absolutely.
So now, Tony, you're saying Rosen goes down to the bottom half of the top 10 or out of the top 10?
Right now I have Josh Rosen actually falling to the 11th pick of the draft to the Miami Dolphins.
Out of the top 10. Okay, so how many quarterbacks do you have in the top 10, and is it possible that Jackson has leapfrogged Rosen? Because it seems to me he's getting a lot of ink in the last week or so.
I'd be surprised if Lamar Jackson bypasses Josh Rosen or is selected before Josh Rosen. Great athlete. A terrific, electrifying quarterback, can make plays with his arm or his legs, but he's really a long way from being NFL ready.
Yeah, I agree with you.
When you look at it, Josh Rosen is the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft, hands down. So I think there's going to be three quarterbacks taken in the top nine. Rosen could fall top 10. Rosen could be a top 10 pick. I have him as the 11th pick. I think Lamar Jackson's probably about 6 or 7 picks after that.
Okay.
I see that you've moved Sam Darnold into your first pick overall in this draft. If I remember right, Tony, I think at some point you had Josh Allen in that number one spot. How confident are you that Darnold's going to be the Browns' pick at number one? And do you think they know for sure who they're taking number one at this point on this Monday before the draft?
I think it's still a debate. I think there's still there is a faction of the room who wants Josh Allen. There are some people who want Sam Darnold. There are some people who want Baker Mayfield in that room. Scott McLuhan's pushing for Baker Mayfield. So, you know, I think there you've got the owner who's asking questions. So I think it's basically any of those three players. The feedback that I'm getting is that many in the Browns organization who are reaching outside the organization for opinions are hearing that Josh Allen's not worth the first pick of the draft. So that's why they may be moving away from Josh Allen, and it's either going to be Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield.
All right. Now, Tony, I asked Charles Davis this the other day because there were still some people who were holding on to the thought that the Browns could take another position at one and take the quarterback at four. Charles didn't think there was much of a chance.
I think
about
5%, right?
Yeah, that's what he said. Are you on board with that, or are you in that small group who thinks that maybe they take the QB at four instead?
When the Jets moved up from 6 to 3, that took one of the quarterbacks out of the equation. So I think when the Colts held the third pick of the draft, the Browns could conceivably take Saquon Barkley at the top of the draft, then take a quarterback at four because they would have a larger choice of quarterbacks. I think the Jets kind of forced the issue moving up to three because everyone knows the Jets moved up to take a quarterback.
Yeah.
So really, you're limiting your options into instead of three quarterbacks at four, there may only be two there.
Tony, I know
I believe they're going to take a quarterback at one.
Tony Pauline, DraftAnalyst.com. Tony, I know you haven't polled the league on this question, but just from your feel talking to people, how many teams do you think have Bradley Chubb rated as a better prospect than Saquon Barkley? Is it a decent amount of teams? Is it no teams? Are these guys really close? How does the league see those two players in terms of a prospect, in terms of their grade, and then also the position value that also plays into it?
I have not talked to anyone or heard from anyone who's told me that Bradley Chubb rated higher on their board. But Bradley Chubb does play the defensive front seven position. As we know, before everyone wanted the franchise quarterback, they wanted that impact defensive player. And Bradley Chubb fits that characteristic of the impact defensive player. So I've not heard of anyone who has Chubb rated higher than Saquon Barkley on the board, although there are some teams who may not value the running back as high, may have a running back who say, you know what, I would take the defensive end before the running back.
Yeah. Tony, let's focus on the team that's picking second, the New York Giants. I heard of these guys. So let's chat about them for a minute. Most everybody now seems to be jumping on the Saquon Barkley bandwagon, and, you know, I understand it. Heck, I figured that was going to be the case back at the Combine. But let me ask you this. The Giants already have admitted, Dave Gettleman himself said he's gotten phone calls about the number two pick. So we know there are people ringing his phone, making offers, and to this point, nothing is proved fruitful. Do you think there is somebody out there who could make a package sweet enough, a tractor trailer big enough, to make Dave Gettleman trade out, even though everyone seems to think that Barkley's going to be there for him at two when the Browns take the QB?
I reported a couple weeks ago that I was being told that there was a blueprint for a trade between the Giants and the Buffalo Bills, who have two first-round picks and have a host of second-day picks. The person I spoke to went as far as saying they have a fundamental agreement between the Bills and the Giants to put a trade in place. That doesn't mean that a trade is going to happen. I was also told that Gettleman was just going to stand pat and look for other offers or may take one of the two players. So to answer your question, the Buffalo Bills could be that team. It's just a matter of, does Dave Gettleman really value that second pick and value Saquon Barkley so much that he doesn't want to move down 10 slots to where the Buffalo Bills are now at number 12 and then take the 21st and all those second-round picks? The Buffalo Bills would be the team. It's just a question of, do the Giants want to move down 10 spots?
Well, if they do that, you got to figure someone like Mike McGlinchey is probably going to be there in that vicinity. He would probably be a likely target for them. But what are we talking about, Tony? Do you have the parameters of roughly what that boatload of picks would involve? Just obviously the two ones. Are we talking a couple of twos, something next year as well, or is it not going to go that far?
There was compensation was not presented to me, but the Buffalo Bills have one pick in the second round. I believe they have two picks in round three. So I would imagine
two
a combination of both first-round picks, the second-round pick, maybe a third-round pick, and maybe something for next year. It's a supply, you know, it's a how much Did the Bills want to move up? They desperately want to move up to ensure themselves to get themselves get a quarterback. And are there any other suitors? There's also talk of a potential three-way trade, which someone told me has legs, which means that it wasn't just a complete bunch of bunk. I mean, there's a belief that, you know, the Bills could move up to one, Browns move to two, Giants move to four, they get Barkley. And you're going to hear all those things. I heard that three-way trade that was thrown out there was not complete garbage. There is something to it, but, you know, who knows? I think in the end, the Giants will end up with Barkley.
One other trade question, Tony. Do the Broncos have any interest in trading up, or are they more likely to be a trade down? And could the Browns swing something where they acquire the Colts pick at 6, and then if Dave Gettleman doesn't want to drop down as far as 12, then take that pick they acquired from the Colts at 6 and then try to move up to 2 from there?
I think if the Browns take the quarterback at 1, Bradley Chubb is too good to pass up at number 4, and I don't think that they would trade down to 6.
Oh, Tony, I'm sorry, Tony, I apologize. I meant to say the Buffalo Bills. Would the Bills trade up, get the Colts pick at 6, and then try to use that to move up to the Giants at 2 if the Giants don't want to move down as far as 12? That's what I meant to try to ask. I apologize.
It could, because the Colts are interested in moving down again. The Colts want a lot of picks. They want a lot of defensive players. So that is one option. The three-way trade, as it was presented to me, is that the Colts actually move up. It was the Giants move from 2 to 4.
Right.
The Browns move from 4 to 12, and the Bills have the first pick, and the Browns have the second pick. So it was basically it was sort of your scenario, but rather than using the Colts to hop, skip, and get up to get a quarterback, they were using the Browns at number 4 to make another trade up to 1, and then the Giants move back to 4.
And real quick, the Broncos, any interest in moving up still, or is that off the table?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. If the Broncos move up, they may move back up into the latter part of round 1 if Lamar Jackson's still there to grab Lamar Jackson.
So that three-way you just talked about means quarterbacks go off the board 1, 2, and 3. So in fact, Barkley does drop to 4, which I think on everybody's value board is probably the lowest that he could possibly go before somebody scaps him up.
He could go 5.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It's just a matter of the compensation. Will Buffalo be able to part with the compensation from moving from 12 all the way up to 1?
Wow.
Interesting. A lot of good stuff, Tony. What if the Giants don't go Barkley, real quick, how do you think the league sees this second group of running backs? Has a consensus been developed on how you order the Darius Geises, the Sony Michels, the Nick Chubbs, the Ronald Joneses, the Rashad Pennies, or is that group of guys really different for whatever team you talk to?
Well, you had the first three right. I mean, it's Darius Geis, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, and I think Rashad Penny from San Diego State comes into play.
Yep.
You know, the issue with Darius Geis is, are you comfortable with the off-the-field issues? Because he has a host of them. He had a very tough background. There's a lot of questions there. You have to be comfortable, you know, bringing a guy like that into your surroundings and know that he's going to be able to focus on football. He's an incredibly talented back. He's a good pass catcher. He has the ability to turn the perimeter. He can run on the inside. Sonny Michel also. I mean, Sonny Michel is more explosive. He's more electrifying. He's quicker than his teammate Nick Chubb, and he's got a lot less mileage on it. It is Geis, it is Michelle, it is Nick Chubb, and then a lot of people like Rashad Penny. The thing about it, except for Penny, none of these guys have been feature runners over the course of their careers. I mean, Chubb and Michelle basically split carries. Geis was playing behind Fournette a year ago. He split carries with Williams this year. You know, some people are concerned about that. Some people look at that as a positive thing because it means when they enter the league, they really don't have the mileage on them, so they can go that extra. They're going to be able to last longer. But basically, you're going to have a nice clump of running backs starting late in round 1 through the early part of round 2. But don't be fooled. These guys are well behind what Saquon Barkley brings to the table.
Yeah, and that's why, Tony, for me, it's got to be Barkley with the number 2 overall, and you got to worry about then getting the offensive lineman at the top of round 2 if I'm the Giants. That's how I see it. It seems to me, based on what we learned at the Combine, there are a number of legitimate offensive line plug-and-play starting prospects at the top of round 2. Now, Will Hernandez seems like he's moving up the board. He's going to be late first round.
Tough.
I don't think I'm going to get that hog, Molly. But in your opinion, who could be there to be a starting caliber offensive lineman for the Giants at the top of the second round?
They're going to have some options open to them. I mean, Connor Williams, who a lot of people thought was a top 15 pick. I never had him ranked that high. I think we talked about the combine. I thought he was overhyped. He's still going to be there at the top of round two.
Wow.
A guy who could potentially play left tackle. People project him to guard. That will be an option for the Giants. A kid who's rising up draft boards, who we saw at the Senior Bowl, Austin Corbett of Nevada. Play tackle at Nevada, projects to either guard or center at the next level. Really a smart, thinking man type of lineman, a guy who I think can start early in his career, have a long career at the next level. He will be available to the Giants. You know, and one interesting name would be Billy Price of Ohio State. I know the Giants have a center, but Price is a guy who before his pectoral injury at the combine was projected as a top 20 pick. The pec injury is a little bit more serious than people thought. But Price outside of the top 22 is great value. This guy is a dominant center who can also play guard. So you could potentially, if you're willing to wait, if you're willing to, you know, let the injury heal and let him get back on his feet properly, you could have a great lineman two or three years down the road if you take Billy Price at the top of round two.
Now let me ask you about that rehab, Tony, because the last that I thought I had heard was that the end of June was going to be the schedule for him and that he would be ready for training camp. If that were the case, to me, I could see you take a Billy Price. You got Brett Jones under contract already. He just re-signed with the Giants to be a center. Maybe you play Price at guard for a year, like what they did with Weston Richburg. And then in a year or two, if you decide that Price should be your starting center, well, then you deal with it then. But what's wrong with maybe making him a guard for a year or two while you kind of sort out the rest of your line?
You know, I heard with Price it's going to be a little bit longer than that before he gets back on. Still, you have the option to get Price to me is the best interior offensive lineman, the best center to come out of Ohio State since Nick Mangold. And if you could get that type of player at the top of round two, grab him.
Yeah, over Isaiah Wynn.
Isaiah Wynn will be long gone. I think Isaiah
Wynn
is going to be the first interior lineman off the board. Could go as early as Cincinnati.
Oh, wow.
At that 20th pick, yeah. I think Isaiah Wynn has moved ahead of Will Hernandez primarily because he's more prone. He's got better feet. He's better on his feet. He's more adept to a zone-blocking type of system where you can use him in motion. Where Will Hernandez, he's tough, he's mean, he's nasty, but you got to play him in a phone booth. You got to play him in a small area. So I would expect Isaiah Wynn to be selected 3 to 4 picks before Will Hernandez.
Okay. Tony, final one for me, and I don't think we talk about this enough. The Giants have 2 picks at the top of round 3, thanks to the Jason Pierre-Paul trade, only 4 selections apart with the trade with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Where do you think there's going to be some good value and depth left up there where you might be able to squeeze out a couple more starting players at the top of round 3 in this draft?
They could still get a good offensive lineman at the top of round 3. I have them in my latest mock draft with their second pick in the third round, taking Terrell Crosby of Oregon.
Oh, that's a good
guy
pick.
Who can play left or right tackle, guy who's got a lot of upside. He's going to need some work, but again, if you're patient with him a year or two down the road, you could have a starting player. So I think you're going to have him. We talked about it at the combine, Braden Smith of Auburn. I have him as a late, late second rounder. But again, he could fall down to the Giants' laps in round 3, a guy who could play guard, could play right tackle next level, mean, tough, nasty guy. One of those two guys in round 3 I think would be an excellent selection. I also have him taking Duke Ejiofor, an edge rusher from Wake Forest, a guy who probably was a top 45 pick, had labrum surgery, was kept out of the combine, really hasn't worked out, but you'll watch his film. He's a guy who you could stand up as a pass rusher. You can have him come out of a 3-point stance. Very good player on his feet, good in pursuit. So I think that sort of player will be available to the Giants as well.
I'm going to go one more question along those lines, Tony. If they had to go for a corner there, because I do think the Giants could use another corner on this roster, if they decided maybe with one of those third-round picks, is there a starting caliber corner you think could drop to that point?
Well, I'm going to answer that in two ways. Number one, I think they could get a starting caliber corner at the top of round 2, maybe a Mike Hughes type if he's available to them. So they can get that player at the top of round 2. Top of round 3, you're looking at a guy like a J.C. Jackson out of Maryland, Rashawn Golden of Tennessee, who's getting a lot of positive talk recently, is moving up draft boards. He's a guy who you know, is he going to start immediately out on the flanks or on the outside? No, but you ease him in as a nickel cornerback and could eventually turn into a starter down the road.
Tony, finally, I see your mock draft. You have Saquon Barkley in round one, Mike Hughes in round two. So that's your prediction for the Giants. If you were in Dave Gettleman's shoes and we handed you the general manager job, top round one, top round two, what would you do with that pick, with those picks?
Basically, I would entertain trade offers. I mean, you know, yeah. Because there's a variety of holes, I would entertain trade offers. And then you got to look, is are those trade offers equal value to the player on the board? You're going to have to get a huge trade offer to pass up on Saquon Barkley, who, in my mind, is an immediate starter, can do so many things for your offense. Granted, you want to improve the offensive line. But I think short of any blockbuster trade, you got to go with Barkley one, and then you got to go. You know, you want to fill needs, but you still want to go best player available. You build great football teams by bringing in really good football players. If you're just reaching for needs, you just have an array of mediocre players, and you're basically back to where you started. So I'm going to stay true to the you want to fill needs, but you still want to go best player available. You don't want to reach.
Well, you know, Tony, it seems after our conversation, though, where the Giants are going to be picking high in rounds one, two, and three. I mean, obviously, that's what happens when you have a three-win season. The Giants are going to be able to kind of match up needs and value based on what you're talking about, because at these key positions we're talking, running back, outside linebacker potentially, cornerback, offensive line, running back. These are all spots where, you know, you're going to get three rounds of legitimate players, are you not?
I said to you guys at the combine, the Giants are in a very good position. I mean, the Giants have a lot of leverage, whether they want to take best player available, whether they want to trade down, because those early picks, what happens is round one, you know, round two will, round one will enter, will be finished, and then there'll be teams who want to move up to get a player. You know, you saw it with the Giants with Landon Collins when they wanted to move up to get Landon Collins. So the Giants are in a good position because there will be good players available. There also may be some demand for those selections for teams who want to move up to get those players. Giants could trade down and get some extra spots. So, I mean, if I'm a Giants fan, granted it was a three-win season, it was torture last year, I'm very excited about Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Tony, awesome stuff as always, my friends. We appreciate it. You can check out all of Tony's stuff on draftanalyst.com. Tony, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your help all year long. We'll talk to you after the draft, all right?
Terrific stuff, Tony. Thanks.
Absolutely. Good luck to the Giants. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Tony Pauline. Does a wonderful job, draftanalyst.com. And now we'll get to your calls at 201-939-4513.
I only want to add the folks who maybe don't listen all the time, or maybe if you're newcomers to the program, John has known Tony Pauline for a lot of years, and Tony is one of those original guys who started going to the combine before it really blew up.
Yeah, mid-90s started going.
He's a long-time combine follower. I mean, I remember he was telling us in Indianapolis that, I remember when it was five or six guys huddling around in the hotel lobby, and now it's like a full convention. So this is a guy who's been at it like forever. So I do put a lot of stock into what he says. He's not just one of these Johnny-come-lately guys or maybe just a pure analytics guy. This is a fella who has seen the full scope of stuff from when it was in its infancy to now the explosion that has become the draft.
201-939-4513. All right, it's your calls the rest of the way, and towards the end of the show, I'll try to give Paul an offer he can't refuse. Let's go to James in Virginia. James, you're going to lead us off on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how y'all doing? Big Giants fan. Getting ready to retire out of the Army real quick in May.
Thank you for your service.
Year.
God bless. Thank you.
Appreciate that. And John and Paul, question for you real quick. You think they're going to pick up Dez Bryant?
No.
And
I do not think they're going to pick up Dez Bryant. And James, real quick before you ask your second question, the type of personalities Dave Gettleman's tried to bring in here, Dez just doesn't really seem to fit into that category, in my opinion. And to me, that's the overriding factor.
And, of course, you have the medical you have to deal with, and then you have to deal with the finances. There were a lot of high hurdles that would have to be cleared for him to be a realistic option. And quite honestly, I said this the day he was cut, I don't think he's signing with anybody till after the draft. I really don't.
Oh, no, I agree. If his teams want to see what kind of receivers they get in the draft before
Absolutely.
They make a move on a guy like this, I'm with you 100%.
Okay, and second question, you think they're going to get Barkley over a lineman? But I know we desperately, need either one. Definitely we need some help for Eli. But as I said, I'm just seeing, you know, what they think they might do if Cleveland don't mess up everything.
But look, Paul and I don't know for sure what the Giants are going to do, James. We honestly don't. I'm not even sure if Dave Gettleman has made his final decision yet. He might have over the weekend. I'm not sure about that. Maybe he does know at this time today. If I had to bet right now and you made me guess who the Giants would take, I think they're going to take Barkley. That would be what my thought process is. Do I know that? No. But I think Paul stands kind of in the same place that I do, right?
Yeah, and the only thing I would add is that the scouts were given several days off. They are back in the building today. And according to Dave Gettleman, the way he spelled out the plans last week, now they really hunker down. And they try to really fine-tune and tweak that draft board over the course of the next 24 to 48 hours after he gave the scouts a few days off. Dave said he was going to be studying film the entire weekend. I don't know if he ever left the building, quite frankly.
He might not have.
He is such a film junkie as he tried to, you know, catch any kind of final things that he could on those tapes.
He actually, James, had a very funny line. He did an interview with Bob Papa that I think aired on Giants Access Blue this past week, if I'm not mistaken. But one part that got cut out, they did like a 12 in the interview, they got it down to 4 minutes. And one part that got cut out, he basically said, I'm sending the scouts home, I'm watching tape all weekend, unless the building is burning down, don't bother me. And that was his quote.
But yeah, the last quick question, as I said, I think it's going to be a good year for us. Well, I know it is. We're doing a lot of changes. Hopefully somebody will give us the offer we can't refuse before the draft. But big Giants fan, thank you, John and Paul, for all what y'all do. And I'm getting my first sports tattoo of the Giants and also a tattoo with the Army. But I really appreciate what y'all do, and I'm a big Giants fan. I'm going to see a couple of games this year at New York.
Awesome. James,
please make sure you come over.
Thank you so much.
Come over and stop and see us if you're going to be at MetLife Stadium. We'd like to see what it is that your artist puts on your, I guess, your arm, but
yes.
Who knows where.
Yes, we are.
Yeah,
we are.
It'll be the helmet in New York Giants for G-Men. But I seen you one day at the Thanksgiving game last year.
There you go.
In stadium, but I couldn't get to you.
Don't be afraid to say hi, and
yeah,
thank
James,
you again.
James, at Giants Stadium, before every game, we do our pre-game show at the MetLife Gate. So if you want to show up there, we'll be there between, I think it's a 1 o'clock game against the whatever time the game might be, we're there from an hour and a half till game time. So make sure you come in, and if you go to a game, stop by and say hi, okay?
Great stuff.
Okay.
Thanks, James.
I definitely will. Y'all take care and have a good rest of the year.
You too. And once again, thank you for your service.
Appreciate it. Says a lot about his fandom that he's going to put a Giants tattoo and an Army tattoo on at the same time. That means he holds the Giants in about as high as regard as you possibly can.
Sounds like you.
I don't have any ink on me. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, because you don't have the guts to get all the needles.
I don't like needles.
No.
I don't like snakes either.
Or Cowboys or Redskins or Eagles.
I'm not going there.
Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. He's up next. What's going on, Matt? How are you, buddy?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
What's up, Matt?
You know, I want to echo what the last caller said. You guys have done a fantastic job in the lead-up to this draft.
Thank you.
Getting a lot of good guests on. Even some guys from like some of the smaller schools just to kind of hear their perspective on some of the prospects. It's been a lot of fun to listen to. Even if I can't catch it live, I always try to put it on the ride home. So
appreciate it.
Great job from you guys. Hey, listen, it's here at this point. We've kind of made it. We're in that last stretch here. I've come to grips with the fact that they're probably going to walk away with Barkley, even though I still don't think it's the right use of the asset. Round two, I have to disagree with Tony Pauline here. The best player available to me is largely in part a myth. Once in a blue, somebody will really stand out. But at that top of that second round, particularly if they take Barkley, I don't see how this team could walk away without taking a lineman there. You draft a third-round lineman, you're going to get third-round pick. Production most of the time.
Matt, I hear you, but I would not underestimate the need at cornerback on this roster. It is almost dire. They don't have
totally
a third cornerback.
John, but that's not going to cripple your football. It's not going to cripple your team like we've seen the offensive line cripple this offense. They haven't been able to function the last few years. I mean, you're not going to have to line up in one particular formation like the Giants have over the last 2 years, 90% of the time.
Now, Matt, I agree with you. Matt, I agree. If there's a guy at tackle that you think is sitting there, like a Connor Williams, like he mentioned, that you can pick at the top of round two, I would take him and I would not take a cornerback because, you know, I think tackle is a different story. Depending on what guard it is, I think it's a tougher question. If Billy Price is there, I would pick Billy Price over one of the corners. But if he's gone and I'm looking at Braden Smith or Mike Hughes, I think Mike Hughes is the better football player. I would consider taking Hughes in that situation.
You know, you could logically you could logically make a case for a corner if there's a blue-chip guy. See, to me, the guy you take in that spot has to be a plug-and-play starter.
Yes, absolutely agree.
Okay? And because you have enough of needs on this team, you have enough of thin spots on this team where the value of a top-of-the-second-round pick should be a plug-and-play starter. So now, if you're going to tell me that there's a plug-and-play starter at corner, but there are none left at offensive tackle.
Or guard.
Or guard. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Neither do I.
So
I don't think Billy Price and Connor Williams and James Daniels and Isaiah Wynn and Will Hernandez are all going to be gone. I don't think that's going to happen.
So, Matt, I'm inclined to agree with you. I think it's going to be an offensive lineman. You know how I love hog mollies anyway.
And by the way, so do I. I agree with you.
And I don't have any problem if the Giants take two offensive linemen in their top four picks. How about that?
Well, Paul, I was actually going to say that I believe I'm a believer right now that we know what Nate Solder is, right? We can feel good about him.
Mm-hmm.
Omame is, I mean, for a fan, I'm a diehard fan. I still don't know who Patrick Omame is. Like, he's not on my radar during the.
He's a solid player and an upgrade over what the Giants had, and that's about all you need to know.
I'm not sure if he's a better player than Pugh. He's replacing Pugh at left guard. I'm not sure if he's an upgrade.
He's
over
an upgrade
Justin
because
Pugh.
He's more reliable. He's more durable.
Well, he'll be
more
on
reliable.
The field, but if you take both guys on the field, Pugh's a better player
when he's at his best.
Well, when he's healthy and he's playing.
But that's not the case.
I understand.
Well, that's not to stretch too far. But
sorry, Ben.
The other three spots are still complete.
No, Brett Jones is a quality player.
He's fine.
You can win with Brett Jones at center.
He's not
going to problem.
He's not going to make any Pro Bowls, but you'll be okay with him.
I'm curious to see how he holds up over 16 games.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's going to come in spot duty. I mean, he's clearly a guy they can certainly upgrade over. You know, you'd feel more comfortable if he was your backup. So I just feel like, and I agree with Paul, this is kind of why I hate the Barkley pick, because I feel like, not that I hate it, but I feel like they should be taking, they have so many needs at premium positions to take a non-premium position, you know, with their first pick. He better really be everything he's being cracked up to be. But I just don't want this team to walk out of this draft without at least one starter. And I honestly feel like in the interior, if they went center at the top of that second round, they can find a guard in round three that's better than John Jerry. Other than that, guys, look,
thanks, Matt.
Boy, I really appreciate you guys taking my call and all the work you've done over the last week. So I'll be continuing to tune in.
Thank you, buddy.
Again,
appreciate the call.
And also, quite honestly, you could also make a case if there's a plug-and-play starter at outside linebacker.
Sure.
In the second or third round. That would certainly be a value there for them.
To me, the four biggest positions in need for the Giants is corner, linebacker, offensive line, running back, and then the fifth one is pass rusher. Those are your five big needs for the Giants in this draft, in my opinion.
I'm with you on the four. I don't know about the fifth one. I'm not sure. They certainly need more depth at wide receiver. They certainly need more depth at defensive end. I don't know if those necessarily have to come in the first four picks, though.
Do you have a second pass rusher on this roster? The tech with depth, who's your second guy?
I'm looking at a lot of schematic stuff.
So, in other words, you don't have one?
No, I'm a bona fide proven guy? No.
I don't. And that's why I want the pass rusher on the list.
But we don't know about technically what Okwara's going to do under the new scheme. We don't know what Martin's going to do under the new scheme. We don't know about what Morrow's going to do.
Martin was in this scheme in Arizona. He wasn't a big sack guy.
Yeah, but he didn't play a lot.
He played enough. He played 60% of the snaps.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be asked to rush more.
Maybe.
In this scheme. So, you're right. There's nothing proven. I'm not telling you they don't need another pass rusher or they don't need another wide receiver. They could certainly use those two positions. But in the first four picks, if you said to me that value matches need, if I could somehow blend it into those first four, I would much rather do that.
And I get that. Let me just say this real quick. And this will lead into my option, but I have Scott in New Mexico was holding through the interview. I want to make sure I get him on first. If, like you said, you pick Barkley and then two offensive linemen with three of your first four picks, I am extremely worried about this defense this year. There are a lot of holes.
Yeah, but that's only three of the first four picks. Who says that that other pick can't be an outside linebacker or corner?
It could be
one of either
one. But then you still don't have a defensive end or a pass rusher or a linebacker if you pick the corner and vice versa. That's my point. I think there are – let me put it this way. On offense, I have Odell Beckham Jr. I have Sterling Shepard. I have Evan Ingram. I know I have three pretty darn good weapons there, okay? Mm-hmm. Pretty darn good weapons. One might be the best at his position when healthy in Odell Beckham Jr. One could be a top five pass-catching tight end in Evan Ingram. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, in my opinion, one of the better slot receivers in football and who can also play outside.
Right.
I'm confident about my weapons on offense. I'm not as confident about my weapons on defense.
Square that offensive line away, and that's going to take away a lot of your problems because, once again, you go a little bit more to the Cowboy philosophy where if you control the ball, you got the running game, you got the offensive line, you control the ball, you will get that defense off the field a lot more, and that can help you.
Pick an offensive lineman or two, but I can't pick two offensive linemen and a running back with three out of the first four picks. I need to get another defensive player in there.
I don't have a problem with it, but that's okay.
We
can differ.
Here's the thing. I would rather pick the two offensive linemen. Well, my God, I want one of the running backs. It's tough. It's a tough spot. Anyway, let's go to Scott in New Mexico next, and I totally understand where you're coming from, Adetoy. I absolutely do. What's up, Scott? How are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
I'm going to echo the first two callers' sentiments. You guys have done an amazing job. In fact, I've never been disengaged in a draft in my entire life.
And thank you.
My wife thinks I'm out of my mind because every time you mention another player, I'm on the computer looking at film tapes and so forth. So I wish the draft was this afternoon so I wouldn't have to do this anymore.
Only 3 days left, Scott. Only 3 days left.
And by the way, don't feel bad. Most people thought I lost my mind about 30 years ago.
Okay. Well, my questions are basic ones. I was a Saquon Barkley guy from the beginning, but Paul, you sort of convinced me to draft down, and I thought that was a great idea. And one of the reasons why I thought it was a great idea is you could pick up in that 12 to 22, if they go with Buffalo, pick up a player potentially like a Denzel Ward, if he's available. I don't know if he would be, but that's the kind of player, and I kind of agree with John, that they need a shutdown corner on the other side. I don't have a lot of confidence in Eli Apple, and I was wondering whether you thought that's still a good idea, or is Saquon Barkley really the way to go?
If the boatload of picks is available, and it's got to be a boatload. I know John says he wants to get to me at the end of the show.
Oh, I'm going to get to you right now. This guy just brought it up.
But it's got to be a boatload for me to trade out of the Saquon Barkley pick because he helps this team in so many ways, not only the running game, not only in the passing game, but he also, because of his offensive repertoire, can help keep the defense off the field and actually also help your defense. Excuse me. I'm sorry. So, yeah, that was nasty. My apologies. I didn't get the bump button quick enough. That was nasty. That's one for the blooper reel, John. So all I'm saying is it's going to have to be someone backing up the truck for me to pass on Barkley. That's all I'm saying. So I'm kind of committed now to it's not going to happen. No one's going to back up the truck, and I'm going to make the pick at two, and there's no doubt in my mind Barkley's the number one choice.
Okay. And, John, you feel the same way?
I've actually turned a little bit, and we'll get into that right now. Scott, I appreciate the call. Keep listening, and I'm about to address.
He may not be done. Are you done?
Are you done,
okay,
Scott?
No, I have one more question.
Yeah, real quick.
And it's actually the elephant in the room, and it has to deal with Odell Beckham.
Sure.
I wanted to ask a question, and then I'll take the answer off the air. Say Odell Beckham comes to Dave Gettleman and says, I want a guaranteed contract for $60 million, say $20 million a year. I'm not interested in what Dave Gettleman would do, but what would you guys do if that scenario presents itself? And would you do that deal or not?
No.
And again, thanks, guys, and I'll take the question off the air.
No, sure. Very simply, I say no, because why would you guarantee him $60 million over 3 years when you can franchise him every year on an individual basis and pay him less than $60 million?
You can franchise him for each of the next 2 years.
So you control him for this year and two more. So that's 3 years, and it costs less than $60
million.
Correct. So why would I guarantee him 3 years, $60 million?
And on top of that, I'm not giving anybody anybody any new deals when they're coming off a medical situation.
Correct.
Until he proves to me that he's still the same guy on the field.
Correct.
Absolutely. I mean, why would you do that?
Okay. And obviously, we don't like to get into money with contracts, but that was a specific question, so we addressed that. All right, here we go, Paul.
What do you got?
Giants picking at 2 and 34. You want Barkley at 2, right?
Okay.
Is that who you want to select
yes.
at 2?
Yes.
Okay. Who, realistically, do you want to select at 34?
Well, if they're going to tell me that Connor Williams, if Tony Pauline is right and Connor Williams is there at 34.
I'm not giving you Connor Williams. I'll give you Billy Price.
If Billy Price can be ready for August.
I will give you Billy Price ready for training camp with that caveat.
Then I got no problem taking him because he's going to be a starting guard for me.
Okay, perfect.
For now. Like I said to Tony, I'm going to start him there for now, and if at some point in time I get him into the center spot a year or two down the road, that's fine, depending upon what happens with Brett Jones. But he could be my starting guard. Okay, I'll take Barkley and Price.
Okay, that's,
I'm good with that.
That's your option number one. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I want you to focus on this. If you want to write stuff down, you can. It's okay. It's going to be a little complicated.
You're going to get complicated on me?
It's not going to be bad. I can write it down for you. Don't worry about it.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to give you their choice. Of these players, at least two of these players will be available. Okay?
Okay.
You can get one of the following players, and it's guaranteed that two of these guys will be there.
Okay.
I can't guarantee you which two.
All right.
That's how the draft goes. Denzel Ward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds, Derwin James, Mike McGlinchey.
Okay.
I can guarantee you two of those guys would be there.
And where am I taking these?
I'm not telling you that. I'm just guaranteeing you that two of those guys will be there. Because I can guarantee that based on the math.
And I'm to take
which
two
one? No. Which one do you want? You can get one guy from that group.
I can only get one guy from that group?
Yes, you can get one guy from that group.
I'm taking Minkah.
You're taking Fitzpatrick. Okay. And I think that's actually realistic. Okay. I like that pick. Okay. You got Minkah. Now, you get one of this group. Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah.
Will Hernandez. James Daniels. Connor Williams. Rashawn Evans. Leighton Van Der Esch.
And I'm only going to take one of those
guys? You can get one of those guys. I'll even throw Harold Landry in that group for you. How about that? I'll give you a chance to pass
rusher. I'm taking Wynn.
You're taking Isaiah Wynn. Okay. Next group. Mm-hmm. You're getting one of Mike Hughes, mm-hmm. Isaiah Oliver, Joshua Jackson. Mm-hmm. Which one do you want?
Hughes.
Giving you Mike Hughes. Now, I'm giving you one of Rashad Penny, Nick mm-hmm. Chubb, mm-hmm. Kerryon Johnson. Which one do you want?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
And you might even have a chance to get Ronald Jones in this group, too, if you want. But I want to make it a little
bit
tougher.
Well, the tough one for me is if my medical guys tell me Chubb's knee is not a concern at all.
He played on
I know
all
he
year
played
last
year. I know that. But if they're going to tell me there's no residual, then I'm going to take Chubb.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Saquon Barkley and Billy Price?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have Minkah Fitzpatrick, Isaiah Wynn, Mike Hughes, and Nick Chubb?
Wow. That's where you were going with this, huh? Wow. That's not that easy for me, John.
And by the way.
It's not that easy. You probably thought I would take the four guys in a heartbeat. I'm not doing it.
Here's the kicker. You also get a 2019 first-round pick.
I probably have to take the four guys with the first rounder.
So what that is, you're trading number two to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
You're getting back 12, mm-hmm. 22, mm-hmm. and 63. Not 63. 53. Sorry.
12, 22, 50, and I'm getting next year's number one.
And you're getting next year's number one.
Well, I've said all along it would take four premium picks for me to move. I've said that all along.
Usually you want it. I've presented to you this before, and you've always insisted on having another third rounder in there.
Yes,
when,
I have.
When I've presented to you this
yes,
before.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've insisted on getting another third round, which means I can be greedy and ask for it. It doesn't mean I'll get it.
No, but that's not what that's not the trade I'm offering you. And by the way, let me just maybe be more specific. That would be pick 50. Okay, I was right. That would be pick 56. Excuse me. You'd be getting pick 56 in the second round.
Can I get you to throw in a third rounder next year?
Nope. This is the trade.
I've said all along, four premium picks would do it. I could see that.
Okay.
I could see doing it.
Okay, so you're in. If the Bills call up and they offer for number two, 12, 22, 56, and the 2019 first-round pick, you're
well,
in.
Well, I'm not saying I do it because I don't know how I'm going to get these guys.
I'm fairly confident.
For these guys, I would do it.
I'm fairly
but
confident.
But I don't know that I'm getting these guys.
I'm fairly confident you will get this group of players. I went through it. I looked at a lot of the mocks. I think you have a real good chance of getting these guys.
I mean, I would do it for those guys.
No, that's not the trade, though.
Stop
it. This is the offer you can't refuse. I just did it for you. Would you do it? I'm offering you the trade. I'm calling you
on
the phone.
Well, then I'm going to be George
Paul
Young.
Paul Gettleman.
I'm going to be George Young, be ultra-conservative, and say no because I don't know that I'm going to get those guys.
I think this is the no-brainer of no-brainers. That trade in a millisecond.
I like the value for those four guys. I'm giving you that. I'm telling you, if it's those four guys, I can make that trade I've said all along, four premium
picks. I'm offering you the picks. There's 2 minutes left on the Giants' selection at number two. You're sitting there. You have the card that says Saquon Barkley in your hand. You're waiting to call it in. I get on the phone with you, and I say, Paul, this is my final offer. You have 90 seconds to say yes before you have to submit that
card.
All
right, John, fine.
I'm offering you 12, 22,
I've said all along,
56, and my one next year. Do you say yes?
The problem is I've convinced myself over the last few weeks that no one will come up with the price, so I've sold myself on taking Barkley, and I've gotten comfortable with it. Now you're going back to what I've insisted for the previous 2 months when I said the four premium picks would make the deal for me.
You have never said yes to this deal to me before. I've offered to you before. Never said yes. I'm asking you now, with a minute to go on your pick, with Saquon Barkley in your hands.
Let's do it. You got a deal.
You're in.
Okay? You got it. But it's not going to happen.
I don't know.
No one's going to back up the truck with four premium picks. It's not going to happen.
That's a minivan. That's not a truck. A truck has a fifth pick in there.
A truck? A truck, they've given you real estate in Florida to go with it. You know, the truck plus the Florida real estate, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get that much. No one's going to do it. These quarterbacks aren't that good.
This is like the largest Toyota 4x4 that they have.
I'm telling you, folks.
I'm not backing 18-wheeler
back. The quarterback class isn't that good. Anybody who wants to give you that much, that's the truck. They're crazy to do that. But you got to take advantage of people who are crazy. So you do it.
Chris in Houston.
All right.
He's up next. Hey, Chris, what's going on, pal? I got Paul to say yes. I'm very happy. What's up, Chris?
Man, you guys are amazing. You leave me speechless, John.
Thank you.
You really do.
I'm happy to do it.
The dude makes me crazy. What do you want?
No, I made you made a tough decision you didn't want to make. That's why you're mad at me.
I can't wait for this to be over, man.
Here's the good news, though. No quarterback. It's not happening. Go ahead.
Well, all right. First off, thoughts and prayers are with Davis Webb this week, so we ensure we don't pick a quarterback.
Oh, and Chris, by the way, real quick, Paul was right. I was incorrect. Dave Dominic looked it up, and it is according to phase two rules on minicamp this week.
No contact. So
I hate to tell you what that means. You're not going to see anything with Davis Webb because you can't even do offense versus defense drills. Guess what? You're not going to have any idea anyway.
We lost him.
Oh, Chris, call back up. I know we lost you. We'll put you right back on before the end of the show. Give us a call back. I want to give you a chance to make your point. So if somebody else calls in, Dave, screen the call. Ed in Rochester is next. Ed, what's going on?
Hi, guys. Great show. I want to just call really quickly. I'm in Paul's camp right now. Have you guys seen the Russell Wilson special on ESPN, quarterback to running back?
I have not.
I saw part of it. I caught the last end of it.
Well, I, to you guys and all our fans, you need to watch it. I'm in the Barkley camp big time after watching that young man interview on that program. He's very mature. I know what he does on the field.
Yeah.
And he just, he wants to be not only the face of a franchise, but he wants to be the face of a league. He's well-spoken. He's mature. He's what we need, regardless of trading down or whatever. I'm all in on it. And I think I want to tell all the fans, if you haven't checked out the program, it's a really great interview with the young man.
Yeah. No, I did see the last part of it, and he's very impressive. It's understandable why across the board so many people like him. It really is.
And the last thing, because I got a quick take, there's no number 26 currently on the roster for the fans out there. There's no 26 on the roster.
Okay.
I've done the research. They're holding the uniform for 26.
There you go. Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. And Chris has called us back, so Dave, let's get Chris up.
Yes, please.
Welcome back. Sorry about that.
Hello, Chris.
Yeah, that was my fault. Sorry.
No worries.
All right. I'm agreeing with Paulie on a lot of things.
I'm sorry about
that. Just a couple of quick questions. Maybe it's the Paisan to me as well.
Okay.
If we pick Barkley, I really, really don't want to pick Barkley at two. I really wish we could trade down. But if we pick Barkley at two, don't you think we have to get an offensive lineman with our second pick? And if so, what are the chances of Hernandez being there?
Chris, here's what I'd say.
I wish.
I will never say you have to take a player at a position, because if all those guys get flushed out, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if none of these players are available at the top of the second round, if Isaiah Wynn, Will Hernandez, James Daniels, Billy Price, Connor Williams, and Mike McGlinchey are all gone at the top of the second round, I don't know if there's another offensive lineman for me worth selecting there. And I don't think that's going to be the case.
It can't be.
That means seven offensive linemen will have gone in the first round.
There's no way that's going
to
happen.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm not going to say no matter what, because once I get past those seven, maybe Austin Corbett, I'd think about picking at that spot, maybe. But if those six guys are gone and like Josh Jackson or Mike Hughes are sitting there, I have to think about the corner. But in general, I agree. If you pick Saquon Barkley number two, you got to get him the horses and the oxes and the bulls in front of him to block for him. Otherwise, the first pick doesn't make any sense. So I happen to agree with you, but you got to see who's on the board.
Yeah, mathematically speaking, the odds are very long that there will not be a valued O-lineman at that number two pick. The odds are very, very long.
Do you agree that it's those seven that are the guys?
You could put Rankin in there depending upon.
How about Ragnow?
Ragnow, too.
Arkansas.
Yeah, the center. Who, by the way, can play guard.
I wouldn't pick Rankin top of the second round. I would consider doing Ragnow.
But you heard Tony Pauline even talk about Crosby in the third.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe.
I love Crosby in the third.
Maybe O'Neal's there in the third.
I like Crosby better.
I like Crosby, too, but right. O'Neal could be there in the third.
Sure.
And you get two third-round picks. Here's the thing. I would just want to say one other thing to you about this whole blocking thing. I would like to see them get two offensive linemen in the first four picks, but if it does not happen, okay, you know that they got to be trying to do everything they can to coach up Wheeler. They got to be hoping that John Greco can find the fountain of youth. They'll bring in some rookie free agents, and hopefully they'll get some diamond in the rough.
Biznavati, too, from last year.
Maybe there'll be somebody out there who gets cut in a salary cap crunch in the next couple of months.
Sure.
Maybe they can always get one of those kinds of guys. And then the other thing is, too, how about this? How about the Giants go back to a power offensive formation and decide they're going to use a fullback on a much more regular basis to provide that extra blocking in case their offensive line doesn't block well enough in the power running game?
Here's the trick.
And they could use Ellison, by the way, with a double tight end scheme with Ingram.
Were we supposed to do that last year?
And that was part of the plan, and then it didn't happen because a particular person in the mix of the offensive game planning didn't really do it that way. He was very, very happy to use three wide receivers and flinging the ball down the field.
And Chris, real quick, I want to add to what Paul said real quick, Chris, and then I promise I'll let you finish. Saquon Barkley's never run with a fullback. He ran exclusively out of the shotgun at Penn State.
Understood.
I'm not sure if he can run with a fullback with his style. That's not the way he runs with a fullback. He runs much more single-back Barry Sanders style.
You could use him as an H-back.
No, you could. Absolutely.
And that gets him out of the line of vision.
Well,
that could be, too.
Well, and in that case, you use Red Ellison.
I got no problem with that.
Right.
Again, that's something that I was pushing big time all last season. And then suddenly The game plans didn't do that. And that's one of the reasons why we have changes.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, the last point is, it's just, and you guys have felt this too, but you just get nausea and agita just looking at the tapes over the past 4 or 5 years, ever since Snee and those guys retired. And it's just to see us get pushed back. I just want muscle. I know it's not sexy, but I just want muscle up there, and I want to get a push. And I think if we get a push, we could do something good.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Take care, guys.
Appreciate the call, my friend. And look, we said this offseason they had to add 3 offensive linemen. And that could have included bringing back Pugh and Richburg, okay?
Yep.
They got 2 of them. They got Omame and they got Solder. 1 left.
Got to get at least one. Got to get left. At least one more. I would not have a problem with 2.
Paul, you'll be on with Lance tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Jeff Risden from Real GM will join us. That's always fun. And then Lance and I on Wednesday and Lance and Fiegel's on Thursday. You can tune into MSG Networks on Thursday night for Giants Draft Night Live. We'll have coverage of the Giants draft pick. Then BBK returns on Friday afternoon with Paul and I. And then we'll be with you Friday night and Saturday afternoon. By the end of Saturday, you're going to want to kill us. You'll be sick of hearing our voices. So, but we appreciate it if you tune in and check that and listen. Dave wants to kill us now. That's okay. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Get some sleep because yes. I won't.
We'll see you tomorrow
Trust
on Giants.com. Remember, minicamp begins tomorrow as well. Stay tuned to Giants.com for coverage of that. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everybody.